You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly interview, I spoke to ex-Simon Court about the government's new measures aimed at reducing youth vaping, significant cuts to the ministries for primary industries and health as directed by the government, and calls for more from more than 30 organisations, including World Vision, Save the Children and Greenpeace, for the government to create a special humanitarian visa category for Palestinians in Gaza with family connections to New Zealand. Here is that interview. The government has recently just announced measures aimed at reducing youth vaping, including stricter penalties against retailers caught selling to minors. Can you tell our listeners how you believe this approach will be effective?
Well, vaping's had a really important role in bringing our smoking rates down quite quickly over the past few years, and it's going to remain an important tool to achieve our smoke-free targets. When a smoker switches to a less harmful product, that's a good thing. That's a win. The big concern is, and many people have raised this, is that it's not just people who are smokers who are taking up vaping. It's young people, even school kids. Principals have raised this with the government as an urgent issue, and they've also made a point of talking about this in the media, so it's quite a well-known problem. Talking about kids vaping in the bathroom at school or even in class having a sneaky vape. So it's really inevitable that the government does have to take some kind of action here. What the government is trying to do is strike a balance by preserving smokers' access to less harmful vaping products, by cracking down on retailers who provide nicotine to children, and removing that impulse buy sense that disposable vaping products have, that might have special appeal to young people. So that's what we're trying to do with the changes.
Associate Police Minister Casey Costello has said that there are only 15 enforcement officers for all vape retailers in Aotearoa, which is about 7,500, and that there's no plans to increase this number. How can you be confident that these harsher restrictions will be enforced?
Well, this type of lawmaking really is around self-imposed compliance. When the penalties are going to be so high, then retailers will know that if they're caught, they do face very severe penalties and fines. So I'm sure that over time, the compliance and enforcement approach will have an effect. The first person who's caught selling vapes to kids and who ends up being prosecuted and facing tens of thousands of dollars of fines, that's going to make the paper. That's going to send a very strong signal this government's serious about it.
Last week, we also saw the Ministries for Primary Industries and Health announce significant cuts as directed by the government. Why are these cuts happening?
Well, households are facing economic realities of higher living costs and higher mortgage rates, and most people I know have already been making cuts to their own household spending to try and soak up some of these extra costs. And now our government is also willing to acknowledge that we do have higher costs and we need to act on the same economic realities as households. I compare that to the 6 years under the previous Labor government when MPI, and we just one Ministry for Primary Industries, their staff numbers increased by 53%. Now we're seeking a reduction, or they've offered a reduction of 9% in their staff numbers. I mean, that's hardly what Labor's called austerity. We're not talking about people on the front line, or compliance officers, or people working at the border. These are back office roles, many of which are duplicated. And some, for example, like policy analysts. Well, when the government is setting the policy agenda, we don't really need these ministries having a whole bevy of policy analysts coming up with ideas that are not in the coalition agreement for execution.
The Ministry for Primary Industries announced that it will be cutting 231 roles, while the Ministry of Health is considering cutting 180 roles. Your party leader, David Seymour, called this good. Do you stand by this comment?
Well, of course, it's unfortunate. ANZ for individuals who have to find new employment, but Act's duty is to the wider public, to the people paying government's bills. Act campaigned on winding back Labor's spending growth and the enormous increase in staff numbers at central government from around about 48,000 to 63,000 in 5 years. So it is good that government departments are reducing staff costs. We are seeing government departments respond on the government's commitments. It's good because if we want to keep funding essential services like health and education, we do need to be constantly reviewing spending in other areas, and that includes who is employed doing what and is it actually adding benefit, producing outputs that lead to good outcomes for Kiwis.
Do you have any concerns about how significant job losses set to happen across the public sector will impact households who, like you said, are facing higher living costs?
We expect it to impact households positively, because if central government reduces its spending as a proportion of the overall economy, that will reduce central government's effect on inflation, which means that interest rates should come down sooner. And it will also mean that the public sector isn't competing for resources with the private sector, another thing which is holding up costs in the economy. So it is good. Households will benefit from seeing a smaller government. Firstly, it'll cost less, and they will also be able to, over time, see the private sector expand to fill the gap that the public sector has unfortunately taken so many roles on and delivered inefficiently.
What would you say to those people who are set to lose their jobs? Do you think that they would share your optimism in this?
Well, I am always concerned when I hear that people are going to lose their jobs. I have personally experienced what it's like to come to the end of a contract and to have to worry about paying the bills. I'm sure that many, many New Zealanders have been in that situation and would empathise with those who are facing that situation now. But I would also encourage them to be positive, because every week tens of thousands of New Zealanders find new jobs, and there is plenty of opportunity out there. We've had a shortage of labour in many parts of the economy for some time, and you know, skilled workers are in demand.
I wanted to ask you about one more thing, which is that we've seen a coalition of NGOs, charities and academics call for the government to create a special humanitarian visa for Palestinians in Gaza who have familial connections to New Zealand. Is this something that ACT would consider recommending to your coalition partners?
Well, of course, in principle, we should accept refugees based on their level of need, and I'd expect Palestinians would rank very highly in that regard right now. The difficulty with a special humanitarian visa, though, is that it brings in people above and beyond our existing refugee quota. And so, you know, ACT would say, why don't we just increase the general refugee quota, assuming that many Palestinians would qualify. But that also has to assume that we have the resources and the infrastructure to actually accept more people and help them integrate into New Zealand. But there may be a way around this. ACT has previously proposed allowing local and community groups to sponsor refugees, effectively inviting families to New Zealand on the basis that their costs are guaranteed and covered privately. And I imagine all of those marching for Palestine would be more than happy to chip in and open their homes. So there may well be some practical ways around it.
So we wouldn't be looking at creating a special visa, though, like how we did with Ukraine, creating a 2-year temporary visa for Ukrainians with family in New Zealand?
Well, even if we did that, it wouldn't be very practical, given that it's not possible for people to leave Gaza right now. It's under a blockade by Egypt and Israel. So whether we created a visa or not is kind of irrelevant. But what New Zealand certainly should be doing is reviewing whether we can accept more refugees, more people in need from around the world. And if that was the case, then I expect that Palestinians would be able to come to New Zealand if they met that needs test.
That was ACT's Simon Court on the government's youth vaping measures, cuts to public services, and their rejection of calls to create a special humanitarian visa for Palestinians in Gaza with family in New Zealand.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.